Awesome. Go ahead and have a seat. Thanks, team. Oh, can we thank them for just a great evening? They've been doing an awesome job. It started on our hillside at 3 o'clock. We had just the most beautiful weather today. It was amazing. And of course, everybody were like, can we do this every year? And I said, yeah, we'll see you next year when it's 20 and blowing snow and see how you're doing. Just an amazing Christmas Eve amidst all that we're going through, everything that we're all carrying, all the burdens, all the, you know, whatever it may be. God is good. Jesus is here. He is with us. Amen. Let's go to him and let's pray and let's ask the Lord to bless us through his word tonight. Father, we as a people are walking in darkness. That's just the world. That's the world we live in. It's a land of deep darkness, a land of darkness, of grief and loss, the darkness of loneliness and isolation, the darkness of depression and despair. It's a land, God, filled with violence and hate. It's a land torn apart by outrage and anger, a land broken by selfish ambition and greed. Father, we are so lost in when we're left to ourselves. We are just so broken and hurting and struggling. And there seems like there's so little hope. And it seems like the world itself is weary. But then we come to Christmas. And on Christmas, God, we are reminded that on this sacred and holy night, you have done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. You have sent your only Son into the world to redeem and reclaim those who are lost. God, we come around the manger and we are reminded that all is not lost because you will not let us go. Your love for the world is too great. Your compassion is too deep. Your grace is amazing. Father, your light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Your light shines in the darkness. The darkness can't even comprehend it. So we come tonight to worship and to give thanks to you, Father. We gather with the angels and the shepherds and the kings and Mary and Joseph around that manger. We come to adore him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, again, Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas to those who are joining online. If you're new with us, just a special welcome to you. My name is Doug Ressler. I am one of the pastors here. And again, just so thankful to be together, so thankful to see everybody's smiling faces. We've been seeing folks today that we haven't seen in months, of course, and it's just been such a joy. Today, of course, is Christmas Eve, right? It's Joseph and Mary are making their way to Bethlehem. Even as we speak, Mary is in labor. A child is about to be born. The angels are warming up the choir. The shepherds are getting ready to take their flocks out into the fields by night. The wise men are busy peering into the heavens looking for that star because darkness was on the face of the earth at that time. A deep darkness and gloom lay over the land. By the way, the same was true in Isaiah's day, that passage that Pastor Matt read for us earlier, right? The people that the prophet Isaiah was speaking to were also walking in darkness. Deep darkness and gloom had fallen upon their land as well. I mean, the once great nation of Israel at that time had really fallen on hard times. There was political corruption. There was economic insecurity. The constant threat of violence from her neighbors. The Assyrian Empire was on the rise. In fact, within 20 years of those words, the Assyrian Empire will roll through the northern kingdom and absolutely wipe it from the face of the earth, will annihilate every living person in that area, in that region, and leave nothing but death and destruction in its wake. And so the people were anxious, friends. They were anxious. They were afraid. Gosh, that sounds about right, doesn't it, for 2020? Anxious, afraid. Boy, nothing new under the sun. I know 2020 has been hard on everyone. I don't care who you are. I mean, whatever burdens you may be carrying. I have friends who have lost loved ones in this season. I have a dear friend who just flew out to be, hopefully, with her mom before she passes because she contracted COVID. And I'm hoping she got there. I'm praying she got there in time. And I have other friends who have lost loved ones along the way. Maybe that describes you. Maybe you're one of those folks that actually have weathered this pretty well on some level. You've been able to keep your job and employed and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you even haven't had to take a pay cut. And that is awesome. But really, since the beginning of this pandemic, we've been saying this over and over again, right? We're all going through the same storm. We're just not all in the same boat. As I said, some of us have weathered this maybe pretty well. We've stayed healthy. Those we love have stayed healthy. Our boat has really been strong, and we can now see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. We're about to make it through, or so we hope, right? Others of us have struggled. Our boats have taken on water. We've been depressed. Friends that we have been depressed. We've lost those we've loved, or we've lost a job or a business, or maybe our kids have really struggled to adjust to online school. Maybe we've struggled to adjust to them struggling to online school, right? I know that's true in my home, right? Some of us maybe have just felt like we got thrown overboard. Maybe our boat sank. We're just treading water, trying to keep our heads above the waves. And then you throw in all the social and the political tensions of this time, and the dumpster fire that is social media and mass media these days, the conspiracy theories, the anger, the outrage, the hate, the fear, the anxiety, all of it piles up on us. None of us are immune. None of us can escape. Darkness descends. Deep darkness and gloom cover our land. That's just the way the world is, right? Remember a couple of years ago, I took my kids, my family down to Cave of the Winds. How many of you have ever been down to Cave of the Winds? Well, I'm ashamed. I kind of grew up in Colorado, and I'd never been there before. And so we go down there, and pretty cool place to go if you haven't been. We wanted to do something simple for vacation that year and explore our beautiful state a bit. So we got there, found out you could take one of two tours. The first tour, as I like to say, is for wimps. It's not really a cave tour. Essentially, they've lit the cave up so much it feels like you're outside, right? Pretty short, all well-developed. You don't even have to get dirty, right? And so we didn't want to do that. I wanted us to really have the cave experience. So I chose door number two, tour number two, and away we went. We got down into this part of the cave that was undeveloped. You had to squeeze through tight spaces. You got dirty. You only had a lantern to light your way. It was a long, long walk. And, you know, so we kind of were twisting our way back and getting pretty deep into the tunnels. And it was really, really awesome. And you get to the very end, and right about the time you're going to turn around and come back out, the guide gathers you all together right there at the end, and he has you turn off your lamp and experience total cave darkness. Total cave darkness. Now, if you've never experienced this, it is wild. You can't even see your hand in front of your face, much less like have a sense of who's standing next to you, right? I've never experienced anything quite like it. It's disorienting. You don't know which way is up or down, or whether you're coming or going, or which way is out. Your eyes can't see, and so your brain really begins to try and fill in the spaces. It's trying to make sense of everything, so it's kind of disturbing on some level. And if you stay down there long enough, or so the guide told us, if you stay down there for like days or whatever, you'll actually go insane. So it's crazy. And actually, I think that's a great way to think about what's happening in our world today. It is like humanity exists perpetually in total cave darkness. We don't know which way is up or down. We don't know what is right or wrong. We are disoriented. We are disturbed. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think the world's gone insane. Amen? Yeah. Well, every year, friends, at Christmas, it's as if God says to us, speaks right into our condition and says to us, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And here's the bad news. The bad news is you're right. The world is utterly broken beyond repair, and there is nothing we can do about it. All right? And the harder you try, the worse things are going to get. And the bad news is humanity has come to the end of herself, the end of her own resources, the end of her strength, the end of her wisdom, the end of her, you know, end of all that she has. No matter how hard you try, you can't make things better. You may know the changes that you need to make in your life, but you actually can't accomplish it or ever seem to get there. We can't become the people we know we're supposed to become. We are our own worst enemy. And all of us know that because we look in the mirror every day and we see it. We're lost. We're lonely creatures wandering in this existential wilderness, helpless to do anything about our broken condition. But then God says, that's not all. That's not all bad. There's good news too. And here is the good news. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. The good news is God loves this utterly broken world with its utterly broken people, and he has done something about it in Jesus Christ, and therein lies our hope. And that is why tonight is different than every other night of the year. Amen? Yeah, because we come together and we get to sing and we get to pray and we get to worship, right? We gathered on the hillside earlier. We're gathering the sanctuary here to light a candle, chase away the darkness. That's why we sing Silent Night, gather at the manger every year to just gaze and wonder in awe at what God has done in Jesus, the light of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And just for a moment, right, when that candle's lit and those kind of final bars of Silent Night are still kind of in the air, right, we'll watch the darkness flee and we'll feel the sadness lift. We'll find our hearts filled with hope. There's a woman here in this last service, and she just lost her mom, 100 years old. And on her way out, she was like, thank you for Christmas, right? Thank you for Christmas. A weary world will rejoice. And why is that the truth? Well, it's because of what Isaiah says here, right? The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has dawned. The light of Jesus, friends, is like the light of the sun that rises in the east and sets in the west. You and I don't control the sun, right? We don't possess the sun. There's nothing we can do to make it speed up or slow down. We cannot stop it in its tracks. The sun operates under its own power, according to its own predetermined plan, and it provides all we need for life. And the same is true for Jesus. Notice where the light comes from in Isaiah. It doesn't come from inside of us. It doesn't come from anything we can manufacture or produce. As a people, we are trapped in darkness, and He is the light of the world. We're trapped there until Jesus dawns, until Jesus comes, right, and chases it all away. John says that Jesus in Him was light. And that light was the life of men, right? And it's life in abundance. That's what Jesus promises when He comes. And the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot comprehend it. And with His glorious light, Jesus brings with Him joy and freedom and peace. Listen to how, again, Isaiah describes it. He says, you've multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of His burden and the staff for His shoulder and the rod of His oppressor, Jesus has broken, as in the day of Midian, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, every garment rolled in blood, Jesus burns as if it's fuel for the fire. You see, Jesus is the one who gives increase to a nation. Jesus is the one who multiplies our joy. The nations that serve God and worship Jesus are given this joy as if they've just had this incredible harvest. They lack nothing. They've been given all they need in abundance. And Jesus not only does that, he breaks the yoke that bears them down. He sets them free from their oppressors. He puts an end to all violence and suffering and pain. And how does Jesus accomplish all of this? It's the most breathtaking thing. He becomes a little child, a baby. For unto us is born a child, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. I can't wait for the day when Jesus rules us as our king. Amen? Like He's actually here, present on this earth, ruling. Man, that'll be an awesome day. I'll be out of a job, by the way, but that's totally okay. I'm on board. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Friends, you got to understand, there's no other religion on the face of the earth whose God actually becomes one of us. No other religion on the face of the earth, or that's ever been on the face of the earth, whose God would so identify with His beloved creation that He would step down from His throne into the womb of a virgin. I love how one author described it. He said this, Christ, who in eternity rests motherless upon the Father's bosom, in our time rests fatherless on the bosom of a woman named Mary. The Ancient of Days becoming the Infant of Days. What deep descent, from the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from the wonders of heaven to the wickedness of earth, from exaltation to humiliation, from the throne to a manger to the tree, right? From dignity to debasement, from the halls of heaven to the nails of earth, from the coronation to the curse at Bethlehem, humility and glory in their extremes were joined, born in a stable, cradled in a cattle trough, wrapped in the swaddling clothes of poverty. No room for him who made all rooms. No space for him who knows and makes all spaces. Oh, the deep humiliation of the Creator, now born a creature. But with his descent comes mercy, because we cannot ascend to him. He descends to us, and therein lies our hope. Friends, hold fast to Jesus. He is your wonderful counselor. He has walked a mile in your shoes. He knows the struggles you face. He knows the desperation you feel. He knows what it's like to suffer poverty and pain. He has been there, friends. He has been there. He has experienced this. He knows what it's like to be disappointed, to be afraid. He was made like us in every way. And now he sits on the very throne, interceding with the Father on your behalf. Friends, hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus, not only our wonderful counselor, but our mighty God. In him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, the Bible says. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his divine being. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He is not just an enlightened individual. We've had plenty of those throughout history, and we can barely remember their names. No, what sets Jesus apart is that he is God himself, come in human flesh. All the power, all the authority, all the wealth, all the wisdom, all of that resides in Jesus's very being. They are his to command. They are his to give away, right? Through him, the world was made, and there was nothing that was made that he was not a part of. He caused everything to come into being, and he is making all things new according to his plan. So take heart, friends. Your wonderful counselor, because he is God himself, has the power to save. Has the power to deliver you from sin and death, the power to set you free. And so hold fast to Jesus, friends. He's your wonderful counselor. He's your mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Now that's kind of a mind bender for us, right? This idea that Jesus is the same Father who looks down on this world with love, the same Father who loved the world so much he would give his only begotten Son, that this same Father is present in Jesus as Jesus and the Father is the mystery of the Trinity. In the strange, mysterious, mind-bending way, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons and yet one God, joined together yet distinct. All the attributes of each present in one another. And that, friends, is why we can have peace. True peace, shalom, not just the absence of conflict. That is not the peace that Jesus offers us. It's not just a spiritual demilitarized zone or an uneasy detente with the devil. The peace that Jesus offers us is the peace that flows from the very nature and character of God himself. And it's a peace that passes all human understanding, a peace that the world cannot give, because it's a peace the world has never known. Right? This is the peace that Jesus offers us as the Prince of peace. And it's the peace that Jesus came into the world to give. He says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you peace." Friends, Jesus is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of peace. And because Jesus is all these things and more, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to him. So here's my question for you this Christmas Eve. Are you drawing near to him? In a world and in a year where we have seen just so much take place, are you drawing near to Jesus? Are you leaning into Christ even as he leans into you, even as he longs to come alongside you and help you in your time of need? We are walking in darkness. We're dwelling in a land of deep darkness. What happens when the light dawns? What do you do with that? I mean, some people, right, they close their eyes to it. They don't want any part of it, and they kind of squint, you know, squinch their eyes shut like my kids used to do, like pretend it doesn't exist. And maybe that's where you're at. You're like standing right there in front of Jesus, but man, you are just like with all your might just squinching your eyes down. You don't want any part of it or any part of him. Or maybe you choose to admire Jesus from a distance, right? And you love the light, but man, you want it kind of over there. And once it moves on, boy, that darkness, it just seems to settle back in. Or maybe you're one of those people that embraces the light, that runs to the light, that holds on to the light, that finds that once they have found Jesus, they never have to dwell in darkness again. I pray that that's where you live. I pray that that's where you are tonight, that you are holding fast to Jesus even as he holds fast to you. You know, it's one of the reasons why we all celebrate communion. It's one of the reasons why we come around this table. I'm going to ask Matt and Katie to come back up in the worship team. You know, Jesus knows our needs, friends. He knows our desires. He knows our wants. He knows what we need before we even give voice to it. And the biggest thing that we need is to know that we are loved. Amen? Yeah, we need to know that we are loved. So Jesus, knowing this about us, knowing this about his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, he sits down at a table with them, and he knows that the next day there's going to be a lot of fear, there's going to be a lot of anxiety, a lot of all kinds of confusion, what is going on? And in the midst of that meal, Jesus picks up a loaf of bread, unleavened bread back then, and he blesses it and he breaks it. And he says to them, "Take and eat, this is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, he took up a cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, remember me." The Apostle Paul will later say to the church that every time we eat the bread and every time we drink the cup, we remember what the Lord has done for us till he comes again. My goodness. Every time we eat the bread, every time we drink the cup, we remember Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Jesus is our mighty God. Jesus is our everlasting Father. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Now, maybe this is all kind of new to you. You're kind of looking at this thing. You're not quite sure what to do. That's okay. There's a little cellophane wrapper on top. You can kind of get at the wafer, and then you can also then get at the juice after that. Before we do that, though, let me just pray, and let me just encourage you. Like, you know, again, maybe you're one of those people that have embraced the light, you've embraced Jesus, he's your Lord and Savior. Friends, this meal's for you. Maybe you're here and, man, something resonates, or maybe you're online, this resonates, and you're like, man, I want that. I've not had that. I want that. I've been living in darkness. I want to come unto the light. In a moment, we'll pray together. You can just pray those prayers after me, and man, you'll be welcomed in to the family of God. Or maybe you're there and you're still not sure, and that's okay. We all are on our own journey, friends. We all have our own journey to walk, okay? And I'd encourage you to walk it with integrity. So if you're not a believer, just let this go by. It's no shame in that. That's fine. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to prepare our hearts to receive this incredible gift he's given us in himself. Father, we give you thanks that you sent your son Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You did it out of love. You love this broken world. You love the broken people who inhabit this world. You long to bring them into the light of your presence. And so, God, I pray for those who are listening, those who are here, those who have not yet received Jesus and are maybe being prompted, feeling drawn in, God, I pray that they would just simply pray these words in their heart after me. Father, I need you. I'm tired of walking in the darkness. I'm tired of living in a land of deep darkness. I want to come in the light. I want to experience the light of your presence so that I never have to be trapped in the darkness again. So I receive your son. I receive him into my heart. I accept him. I accept his lordship over my life. God, I want him inside of me. And so, Father, by your Spirit, make that happen. Come and dwell inside us. Come and dwell inside of me that I might live for you. Father, for those who may have prayed that prayer, we're grateful because you tell us in your word that when we place our faith in you, we become sons and daughters of God. We get adopted into your family. We come around this table. We get to feast on the food that you provide. So we give you thanks for that, God. And we lift up every single person here, every single person joining us online. We ask, God, that you would be so very near. be present as only you can be in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's take and eat, friends.